It's 437. You're listening to Downtown of the Pulse, WZON, WKIT HD3, and the WZON app. Downtown broadcasting live from our Quality Jewelers studio at Seasons Grill and Sports Lounge, 427 Main Street in Bangor. Time to check in with our friend Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, who joins us this afternoon from a beautiful downtown Boston. Mr. Ryan, good day, sir.
Hi. Yes, it is a beautiful day down here.
I loved your column in Sunday's Globe talking about Patriots and Patriots fans in particular. Perception is reality in the world, and as you point out, whether they like it or not, for Patriots fans, with success will always come a yeah, but.
Forever and ever. Just get used to it. The outside world is not going to give in. They're not going to concede. They're not going to be swayed by anything that Roger Goodell adjudicates in this Brady issue. Their minds are made up, and they're never going to change. The Patriots are branded as outliers, as to be polite, envelope pushers, and to the max, and maybe even, dare I say, cheaters. And so that's it. So if you want to root for this team, you have to accept that you're never going to enjoy the satisfaction that the rest of the world is never going to give you, the satisfaction of enjoying the team's success. And that's that. And so if you can't deal with that, find another team. That's it.
So Boston sports fans, Bob, have always had a reputation of being smart sports fans who knew the game. Does this do some harm to that reputation, those who are blindly loyal to Tom Brady?
Well,
and the
I believe
team?
It's predictable and understandable. People are going to be loyal. It's sweet and touching. It's just the same thing happened in San Francisco. Somewhere out there was a fan that said, you know, I can't root for my team anymore as long as Bonds plays for it. But he was in a very, very small minority. And they cheered for Bonds, and they cheered for the Giants. They may have held their nose metaphorically, but they didn't abandon ship. In fact, it was during this period of time the Giants became one of the great franchises in baseball. There was many years prior to that in which they weren't really drawing very well. Now they sell out virtually every game in that beautiful ballpark of theirs, but it all started with the Bonds era, and I understood the phenomenon. It would have been asking a lot of people to abandon their team just because Bonds was a roid freak, but it's going to take an awful lot for. And by the way, there's no comparison between Bonds' transgressions and Brady's alleged transgression to start with. But Brady is part of a team that already had a reputation. The Giants had no negative connotation attached to them before Bonds, became Bonds of infamy. But the Patriots, Brady was the last guy. Brady was apart from it. He was absolved of it. He was not considered to be part of. It was all about the coach. Now Brady, unfortunately, is attached to the negative legacy of the Patriots.
And as you point out in your column, obviously the punishment doesn't fit the crime in this case, but it is part of a pattern for the Patriots. And I wonder, I've had the theory for a while that if Tom Brady had just fessed up in some fashion back in January, this all might have blown over by now.
Well, this presupposes that he's guilty and that there's something to confess. Apparently he's going to go hard hiring the guy. He got the go-to lawyer. If you're going to do this, he got the go-to lawyer, Jeffrey Kessler. So he's going to proclaim innocence. And it strains credulity. If something happened with those footballs, which apparently it did, it wasn't without his knowledge or consent or approval or the perception on the part of the Messrs. McNally and Jastrzemski, who were the guys who handled the footballs, that this is what Brady wanted. How can any good Patriot fan not think that if something happened, that Brady wasn't behind it to some degree? How horrible an act was it? Well, not very, as it turned out in the game in question, since he threw the inflated football better than he threw the allegedly deflated football, much better. But intent is intent, and you shouldn't be trying to circumvent the rules. Therefore, they have a provision, as I point out. What they should have gotten is the $25,000 fine that is already prescribed for fooling with the football, and then life goes on. But because, in my opinion, this is not gospel, the reason that we have all this mess going on is the Patriots' priors, and this is a way to mollify the rest of the league by finally slapping the Patriots down.
We're talking with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. A wise man once wrote, I'm paraphrasing a bit, that baseball is the greatest game to spring from the mind of mortal man. However,
sounds familiar.
Yes, yes. However, watching the Red Sox, I'm having my doubts of late. This is not something that ought to be enshrined at Cooperstown anytime soon.
No, Sunday was beautiful, wasn't it? Sunday was a glorious day, a beautiful game, a well-pitched, crisp game, 2 hours and 37 minutes, a guy throwing strikes, home runs being hit, beautiful leather being flashed. It was a thing of joy and beauty. And then we got to Minnesota, and then Joe Kelly threw a stink bomb out there. The thing that people have to keep in mind until it's hopeless, and it's not, it's far from hopeless, is that they are playing in an atrocious division, and they are a contender. As a matter of fact, everybody in the division is a contender. And I maintain that if the other four allow Tampa Bay, as lovable as they may be, and to win this division, it's a disgrace. That team should not win this division. Right now, they are in first. I can't. But don't ask me. I mean, I do not have the answer for you. Which of the other four is going to be the one to emerge? I have a feeling it's going to be a hotly contested race in which you won't need to win much more than 83-4 games to win this division and get in the playoffs.
It's an interesting roster right now with a mix of some veterans, a couple of journeymen, and then a lot of relatively untested young guys. Does this team make us ask a few more questions about Ben Cherington's ability to build the championship team?
Well, right now it's the strangest resume and I've ever seen for a general manager. Obviously, the picking up of worse than picking first with seven strikes on the free agent market. Everything, he had a Midas touch the first year. Last year it turned back to you know dust. And this year it's despite a lot of money being spent and on people that I think most people agreed were going to help this team, particularly offensively. We're not seeing the benefits of it. It is a strange resume because he could very likely finish last three out of four. Two out of three for him, and it would be very weird, wouldn't it? Sooner or later, there's going to be some speculation about the manager if this happens too. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, it's going to have to be. I mean, how can you not want to ask, you know, if somebody else could stir the pot a little differently than John Farrell has in this? In this. But as I said, it's Memorial Day. We're at the quarter pole. It hasn't been pretty. It's been very frustrating, but. There's not much daylight between themselves and the top. So you've got a reason that things are going to turn around offensively for some people. The pitching, by and large, has gotten better. And Miley's now thrown three excellent outings in a row, for example. And Joe Kelly remains, though, a colossal tease. He's the kind of guy, you'd love to have that repertoire, and you'd give that stuff he's got to. That ought to be a winning stuff, but for some reason he's not winning with that great stuff.
Bob, it looks like we're on track for an NBA Finals with the Cavaliers and the Warriors going head-to-head. The NBA must love this. You've got the current king and then perhaps the future king and Steph Curry going head-to-head.
I think this is clearly of the two possibilities, this is the one they would want. The possibilities of certainly Golden State has had an all-time season. They've got a glamour player in Curry. I hope that he survives that terrifically scary fall that he had last night gets back and gets himself on track. The Cavaliers have LeBron. They went from a big three to a big one. And he's still carrying them across the finish line. Probably, I would think, we'll get the job done at home tonight. And then we'll have a long, boring, tedious week waiting for the finals, assuming that Golden State gets the job done tomorrow night, which I think they will. That is definitely going to be enticing. It's just too bad that there's going to be that big gap, which is going to kill the buzz and really harm the league, I think, a lot.
As Celtics fans wait for the offseason to see what games Danny Ainge can play, what movement we see on the roster, are there some guys on this current Celtics roster that you would love to see Danny keep in the fold?
Well, obviously, the Isaiah Thomas saved them the bacon, got them the 40 wins, got them in the playoffs. Then was exposed a little bit as to how far you can go with him once the playoffs started. But he's a dynamic player, and if you can just keep him happy by convincing him to come off the bench, that'll be one of the great tricks that Brad Stevens is going to have. I am one of the many new members of the Jay Crowder fan club, which there's a lot to like there. I think he's the kind of player that would be a tremendous asset to any smart, good team. I really like him. He just touches all the bases. I like him a lot. Marcus Smart is the face of the franchise. He's not going anywhere. So that's fine. We like him. I think those are your three anchors right now. The guy that I want him to be great and be as good as he can be, and that's Jared Sullinger. And he's got to make the final commitment to get in the best possible shape. I know he's got a certain kind of body, and it's to the extent it's always going to be it's going to be that way. But you got to get in the best possible shape, and I'm not sure he's ever done it. And he's still young, and he's a smart person. And he has two things, you can't teach anymore. He's a great inside instinct player. He's got great hands and feet. He's a born rebounder. I just hope he hasn't fallen too much in love with that 3-point shot. It's nice to be able to stretch the floor, quote unquote, now and then. But I want him to remember that his best asset is still I mentioned it. It's behind him, and use that to judiciously in the low post. Zeller was a good find. I think he's a building block. Really, when you come down to it, there's one, not untouchable, but the least expendable guy is Marcus Smart. He's only going to get better.
Bob, before we let you go, I know you're a lover of history, and last night, a big night in Lewiston, Maine, the 50th anniversary of Muhammad Ali, Sonny Liston, the Phantom Punch. Did you ever, in your long career, have you ever encountered Ali?
Only at a major function the Sports Illustrated 40th anniversary gala was in New York, and he was there and I was there a number of years ago. So that's it. I didn't cover his fights or have any encounter with him, no. But that night, I remember I was in Boston. I went to the movies with my wife, and I remember we came out of the movies, and cars were riding down Boylston Street honking the horn about the fight that had just taken place in Lewiston. Had the fight taken place in Boston, which when it was originally where it was originally supposed to before the postponement, I would have been able to go. One of my college friends had access to tickets. It had been in Boston, but once it went up to Maine to Lewiston, that ended that. But a controversial evening, to say the least.
Yes, absolutely. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Always great talking with you, Bob. Thank you much, and we'll catch up with you again as the summer marches on. Enjoy the warm weather.
Very good. Stay in touch.
That's Bob Ryan of the Globe, 10 before the hour.